The Holy Spirit, through the pen of the Apostle Paul in Galatians chapter 5, would say in verse 13, through love, serve one another. Or he would say in Galatians chapter 5 and verse 16, walk in the Spirit. Or Galatians 5 and verse 18, be led by the Spirit. And Galatians 5 and verse 25, live in the Spirit, walk in the Spirit. Paul's making a point with regards to how we live and for how we walk in the Spirit, controlled by the Spirit, what the Spirit has revealed. And he talks about fruit. And he says in that same context, when he says, walk in the Spirit, be led by the Spirit, live in the Spirit. He says, Galatians 5:22, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Kindness, goodness, love, joy, peace, self-control. What do you want to talk about? Strengthen this church. That's been our shepherd's theme for this year. We're going to go back and revisit it a bit in this fall. Can you believe after October? We've got 2 months if the Lord gives us the rest of this year. And this year's gone. Strengthen this church. And if you were to talk about preaching a sermon on strengthen this church, you'd think, well, preach about love, and that's good. And preach about self-control, absolutely. Preach about kindness and goodness. Through love, serve one another. And those are all there in Galatians chapter 5. Gentleness. Gentleness. I appreciate our brother, Reagan. He led as we prayed together. He mentioned that the words, the thoughts, what I would say would touch our hearts. Well, the beautiful thing about that is all I have to do is get out of the way and let the Word of God touch our hearts. Therefore, I, the prisoner of the Lord, Ephesians chapter 5, implore you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling with which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, Ephesians 4, 1, 2, and 3, with patience, showing tolerance for one another in love, being diligent to preserve the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Colossians 3, verse 12. So as those who have been chosen of God as holy and beloved, put on a heart of compassion and kindness and humility and gentleness and patience. Jesus in Matthew 5 and verse 5 said, blessed are the meek, the gentle, for they shall inherit the earth. You want to inherit the sum of all blessings? We may misunderstand the application of inherit the earth, I believe sometimes that we do, and the sum of all blessings. But what I would say about that is Jesus says, if you want this, you must become gentle, meek. Good morning and welcome to all who are here, especially those that are visiting with us this morning. We're delighted to have you. Several this morning that are visiting, welcome to you. Thank you for being with us this morning. Look forward to again today at 5 o'clock. Travis Everett has put some good thoughts together, I know, to share with us from the Word of God again today. A lot of talented, gifted men who open the Word and share it with us. We look forward to Travis Everett's message tonight, again at 5 o'clock tonight. Last week was a good week. You know, if the shepherds have put before us a direction of strengthen this church. Well, what's going to help me to strengthen this church is to strengthen me. What's going to help you to strengthen this church is to strengthen you. And what Chuck said in some of the lessons last week is stronger homes make for stronger churches. And so if we want to strengthen this church, let's start where we start, in our homes and with our personal lives and all of those things. Great lessons. If you weren't able to attend and hear all those, Brian plugged our website, go there and look at those, share those with others. I tell you, to strengthen this church, I have to be gentle. But what does it mean to be gentle? You know, it's translated by two Greek terms, and I will tell you, scholars even admit that this is a difficult word in the Greek to put into English. And so your translation at times has gentle, and your translation other times has meek. But when you look at these Greek terms, we need to understand, I think in the beginning, what we're not talking about. See, gentleness is not timidity. Gentleness is not someone that's just mild and passive, just going along to get along. Gentleness has nothing to do with someone who's lacking in convictions. Gentleness has nothing to do with someone who's seeking peace, but at any price. Willing to compromise truth, willing to compromise integrity, that's not gentleness. And gentleness does not mean that we're supposed to be passive and indifferent toward evil. So what is gentleness? Jesus was described as gentle, meek and lowly in heart, a gentle person. God in the flesh was gentle. Gentleness is power, but it's power that has been harnessed. Many Greek-speaking people, when defining this word, would use the analogy of a wild animal or a colt that had been tamed. It had been harnessed. An animal, a massive beast of such great power, yet that power has been put under control. Proper restraint. Because if power is not properly harnessed, it will be abused. And in its abuse, it'll do a great deal of harm in the home and in the church. Proverbs chapter 16 and verse 32, "He who is slow to anger is better than the mighty, and he who rules his spirit than he who captures a city." There's self-control. Part of that fruit, but also what's in that passage is gentleness. It's strength that has been harnessed. It's power under control. But there's another proverb that speaks about power out of control. Proverbs 25 and verse 28, "Like a city that is broken into and without walls is a man who has no control over his spirit." It's not gentle. Husbands are put in positions by God of authority in the home. 1 Corinthians chapter 11 speaks to that end. Ephesians chapter 5 speaks about the husband who is the head of the wife, placed in a position of control. But if that power is not harnessed, if that rule becomes cruel, it does damage to that home. Fathers have influence over their children, are instructed to not provoke them to anger or wrath, but to bring them up in the discipline and the admonition of the Lord. But if the power in that leadership is abused, it affects the children. You see the essentiality of gentleness in the home, but women. Wives. Women are to be gentle. Do not let your adorning, if 1 Peter chapter 3, do not let your adorning be merely external, the braiding of the hair, the putting on of gold jewelry, or the clothing that you wear, but let your adorning be the hidden person of the heart with the imperishable beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit. A gentle and quiet spirit, which in God's sight is very precious. For this is how the holy women who hoped in God used to adorn themselves, by submitting to their own husbands as Sarah obeyed Abraham and called him Lord. I understand there's a lot in that context to unpack. But ladies, see in that context the gentleness that manifests itself in a submissive spirit. I've already in some measure told you what it is not. Let's look in practicalities with regards to what it is. To strengthen this church, start in your home, start with self, move into this church. The essentiality of gentleness and being gentle people, there is a submissiveness. It's interesting in the context. When you see the word meekness or gentle, it's put or it's packed in a context with other terms like humility, submission or subjection in some particular relationship. Gentleness is an attitude or a disposition that affects the way that we think, the way that we live. It's a will that has been brought under the control of the Holy Spirit revealed Word of God. Submitting myself to the controlling influence of the Spirit. Go to James chapter 1. Let's see a passage. In James chapter 1, notice verse 21. And again, there's a context here in James chapter 1, but I want you to see verse 21. James chapter 1, and in verse 21, therefore lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness. So there's something that has to be put off in order to put on, in order to have proper reception of the word. Surely, note that. But here he tells us how to receive the implanted word, which has the potential and the power in that seed, which is the word of God, to bring deliverance and salvation. It's sufficient, it has the power, but you got to put off some evil desire, some impure thought, some impure action that's wrong. And he says, now this implanted word, you need to receive with meekness, which is able to save your soul. Proper reception. Receive with meekness. Other translations say, receive with gentleness. To receive the word with gentleness means to have a certain spirit or disposition that is willing to be submissive to what the Holy Spirit of God through the word reveals. And at times that's going to be hard. Because at times my stubborn will doesn't want to yield to the Holy Spirit revealed will. In fact, in the context of James chapter 1, sometimes I don't like what I hear. And as the word serves as a mirror, I don't like what I see. And so it's easier for me to ignore the truth than it is to receive the truth, and then bring about positive change in my life. To receive the word with gentleness. How meek, how gentle, how humble, how receptive am I to the word of God? It has the power, James says, to save my soul. Who's he writing to? My beloved brethren, Christians. Well, if they're Christians, already saved, right? True, true. Now, you can lose that salvation. You can fall from grace. You can go from a condition of fellowship to alienation and separation from God as a result of sin. But it's interesting to me that James, in writing to Christians, tells them about the power of the seed, the Word of God. He tells them or reminds them what they already knew. They had been begotten again by the Word of Truth. That is, the truth, the power of the gospel already brought them to faith as a result of their proper reception to it. And now that you're in the faith and in fellowship with God, don't dismiss the power of the Holy Spirit to grow you up into Christ. To keep you in Christ. To penetrate those areas of darkness in your life that you are ignoring, that you're not dealing with, that potentially could cost you your soul or someone else their soul. How receptive am I to the Word? It connects itself to my gentleness. My gentleness. My attitude toward the Word. Lay aside, James says, all filthiness and overflow of wickedness. There has to be a distinction between those two. Both are bad. Both are evil. My understanding of the overflow of wickedness, the filthiness, is anything in attitude or action that has created a barrier between me, my heart, and proper reception of the word. Is it ego? Is it pride? Is it some physical sin in my life? Gentleness, humility, humbling yourself under the Word. It's not just my attitude toward God's Word, it's also my attitude toward my brother. I'm dealing with attitudes because attitudes affect actions. My attitude toward my brother, my attitude toward my sister who's caught in a sin. In fact, in the language of Galatians chapter 6, it's one who's been caught in a trespass, tripped up, caught off guard, didn't see it coming, wasn't looking for it, heart's not hardened here, but they're caught, and they're caught in a trespass. This is a serious situation because we're dealing with someone's soul and someone's right standing before God. And He says, you who are spiritual. Well, surely that would describe someone who's walking in the Spirit, right? Surely that would describe someone who's manifesting the fruit of the Spirit, absolutely. And He says, you who are spiritual, you restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness. In a spirit of gentleness. I think I've shared this with you before. It's still kind of fresh in my mind, even though it happened before we even moved here, and we've been here 14 years, so it's 15 plus years ago. I broke my wrist playing ball. You should have seen the catch. But I broke my wrist playing softball. And I got up, and it was not a pretty sight. And I remember walking to one of the guys on the field and showing it to him, and I said, is it broken? He looked at me and he said, yeah, it's broken. And I said, don't tell Amy. She was there. She's got eyes. We went to the ER, and the doctors did their work of setting a broken bone. Thankful for pain meds. And the doctor set a broken bone with gentleness. You see, when you fix something that's broken, when you fix something that's torn, when you do the mending spiritually, the Holy Spirit of God says, be gentle. He says, do it. Restore. The fellowship has been severed. The person's situation in life is in danger. Restore. But do it with gentleness. We already talked about what gentleness is not. So to go to someone in gentleness, he says, this will help you. Considering yourself. Well, wait a minute. It's about the person who's been caught in a trespass. Sure it is, but look at yourself as you go. Have you ever been overtaken in a trespass? Have you always gotten it right? Have you ever had a bad attitude? Have you ever sinned? Who among us can go to someone and say, I've never done wrong? It's interesting to me that Jesus, who describes Himself as meek and lowly, this is the same Jesus who has said, a bruised reed, Matthew 12 and verse 20, He will not break, and a smoking flax He will not quench. Break, quench. That has to be me. The attitude that I go to someone to help someone who's caught in a trespass. It's an attitude toward people that disagree with me. And look, people disagree with preachers all the time. People have disagreed with me since I've been preaching. Eventually they come around and see it from my point of view, but they know that I just killed the gentleness, didn't I? An attitude toward people when they disagree. Look at the word, 2 Timothy chapter 2, and it's interesting, he's writing, Paul, the apostle, the aged apostle, is writing to Timothy, the young preacher. 2 Timothy 2, verse 24. And these principles apply to all of us, whether you're preaching or not. We're all servants and ministers of Jesus Christ. We're to serve one another in love, Galatians 5. 2 Timothy 2, verse 24. The Lord's bondservant must not be quarrelsome. You trying to win an argument or win a soul? But be kind to all. Able to teach. Can't teach what you don't know. But knowledge is not the end all in teaching, because knowledge can make someone arrogant. Love edifies. Patient when wronged. Now verse 25 of 2 Timothy 2. With gentleness, correcting those who are in opposition. If perhaps God may grant them repentance, leading to a knowledge of the truth, and that they may come to their senses and escape from the snare of the devil, having been held captive by him to do his will, with gentleness correcting. You see how these two points, these two attitudes toward the lost and those who are caught in a trespass and those or those caught in sin and those who disagree with me, you see how gentleness connects to both? Listen, good people, Holy Spirit fruit-bearing people will disagree in a local fellowship. And how ideal how we deal with those disagreements in matters of judgment and in matters of doctrine is important. We're wanting people to have the opportunity, and it takes time. We're wanting people to come to repentance, and that takes time. We're wanting people to come to a knowledge of the truth, and that can take time. I'm not telling you to ignore the disagreement and never discuss and rediscuss areas of disagreement. But approachability and how I go to someone, a spirit of humility and gentleness. Remind them to be subject to rulers, to authorities, to be obedient, to be ready for every good deed, to malign no one, to be peaceable, Titus 3, 1 and 2, gentle, showing every consideration for all men. And I believe it doesn't do injustice to the text to insert right next to showing all gentleness, showing every consideration, to be courteous and kind. Gentle people manifesting this disposition will be courteous. The wisdom that is from above, James 3 and verse 17, is first pure. Truth always matters. How we live and how we think before God matters. The wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, open to reason, full of mercy and good fruits, impartial and sincere. You see the essentiality of gentleness. And finally, an attitude toward the unsaved, the lost who have never responded to the gospel. In darkness. In your heart, set apart Christ as Lord, 1 Peter 3 and verse 15. Always be prepared. Always be prepared. Am I prepared? If I'm not, I need to get prepared. Prepared to do what? To give an answer. To give an answer with regards to what? To whom? Everyone. Everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that they have in you. People who have set apart Christ as Lord in their hearts are people who take 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 15 seriously. That's the point. And the application of 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 15 is always be ready to give an apology, a defense, an answer for the hope that you have. If you have hope in Christ, what makes your hope valid? What makes your hope real? What makes your hope the kind of hope, Romans chapter 5, that you can embrace without any shame? Are you prepared? Are you ready to give that defense? And when you give it, Peter says, do this with gentleness and respect. In defending our faith, we're defending our God, who is the object of our faith. Represent Him properly. Never use rudeness of speech. Never think sarcastic humor to belittle someone's belief is the wise approach to bringing them to faith and a knowledge of the gospel. Gentleness is not weakness. Gentleness is not timidity. Gentleness is never apologizing for your hope that's placed in Jesus Christ, who is true. But when you give that defense, do so in gentleness. And the Holy Spirit of God, where we started in Ephesians chapter 4, says, I beg you. And here's an apostle. So you can have authority as a teacher and beg people. Plead with them. Help them see that your pleading is the Lord's pleading. And He says, I beg you, walk worthy of the calling wherewith you have been called. And that worthy walk is there as a result of the fruit that's being born. And in that context, you have gentleness. Gentleness. To strengthen this church, where do I have some work I need to do in my life? To strengthen this church, where do you have some work and some growing you need to do in your life? Let's grow together. Let's always connect our growth to Jesus Christ, who is our head. And always connect our improvements spiritually to what the Holy Spirit has revealed, the truth in the Word. Are you here this morning, but you are not in Christ Jesus? He is your hope. Only Jesus can save. Only His blood can cleanse you of your sins. Do you see the power in the blood of Jesus Christ to save you? Do you see the love of God in Jesus Christ, Jesus who died for you to make possible the forgiveness of your sins, to give you that hope? Are you here this morning and you believe with all of your heart that Jesus is who He said He was, the Christ of God? Are you willing to humble yourself, to come in faith and say, Lord, I believe. Jesus, save me by and through Your blood. I cannot save myself. And so my faith will obey by humbling myself and being immersed in water. Acts chapter 2 and verse 38, immersed in water in order to have my sins washed away. Are you here as a child of God and you have not been gentle? Are you here as a child of God and there's some sin and attitude or action in your life that separated you from God? Turn from that. Repent of that. Humble yourself and submit to God and come before Him this morning if we can help you. And repent of those sins and let us pray for you. Won't you come while together we stand and while we sing?